I want to talk about the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter. That's my title. Talk about the heart. I'm one of those people who God touched their heart. I guess everybody actually comes the same way. But the heart is central. It's central to everything. Your heart is the object of a great and fierce battle. Oh, going on all the time. Pulls on against your heart, pulling back and forth. And what battles go on? Your heart is your most precious possession. That's why the scripture tells us to guard it with all diligence. Most precious possession. And what is the heart? It's the innermost part of the human personality. It's the deep center of our lives. My heart is me, the real me. Your heart is you, the real you. And why did Jesus come? Well, according to Isaiah 61, verse 1, he came to set the captives free, to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives. Brokenhearted, their hearts are broken. That's who Jesus came, to minister to the people who have broken hearts. And our world is full of broken hearts. And only one thing that will make a difference in their life is the presence of Jesus, where he comes in and sets them free. He give you back your heart, which has been smashed and damaged and beaten up, and to set you free, to set me free, starting with my heart. You know, you wonder how do they change? One time you met this person, or I've met this person, and they're hard and bitter and difficult, and they don't get along with people, and they're drinking excessively and doing stuff excessively. And then you see them later, some months later, and I'm thinking of somebody in particular, and I said, they're so different. They tell me about their conversion, how God had touched their heart. I said, that's okay. Nothing in the whole world would have done in a few moments, a few months, completely revolutionized him. And I'm sure the news media, when they pick up on those stories, I wonder what they think. That, how do you think he changed so rapidly? His heart was touched. If God will touch a heart, you see that happen. Boy, you see changes come, and it's a wonderful thing. So Christianity is a heart religion. Would you say that, heart religion? Heart religion. It's a heart. It has to do not with the head, although there's a belief system, but it's the essence of it. It's a heart. It's about your heart. It's about falling in love with Christ. It's about inviting him to come into your life and transform you and transform me. And it's our hearts that must be transformed. That's the essence of it, and it's a beautiful and wonderful thing. And so as our hearts are transformed, and even John 3, when he talks about it, he says, you must be born again. You must have your heart changed completely from the inside out in order to be changed. And so why must our hearts be changed? Well, the reason is quite simple. It's because something has gone wrong within the human race. God created us to reflect his glory, and barely three chapters into the drama, we torpedoed the whole project, and sin entered the picture and spread like a computer virus. It just went everywhere. Sin went to every corner of the world and affected every single person. Genesis chapter 6 is one of the most touching verses you'll ever see. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 to verse 6. The Lord was grieved. Now, how often is God grieved? Not that often. But the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth. And here's about a statement about God. And his heart was filled with pain. Wow. His what? His heart. God's heart. God's heart was filled with pain over our sin. The first mention of God's heart in the whole Bible, not mentioned anywhere else. God's heart is broken because ours is fallen. The problem, it never has been, but the problem is not in our behavior. That's not the problem. The problem is in us. It's within us. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. For out of the heart, out of the heart comes evil thoughts. It didn't come just from something you learned. It came from deep within. Evil thoughts and murder and adultery and sexual immorality and theft and false testimony and slander. And that's what makes a person unclean. You need a heart change. And you never will overcome these problems until your heart is touched by God. It's just how it works. There's no other shortcut to it. Paul talked a lot about the last Adam, or the second man. And he had different names for the Lord. Prince of Peace, Lion of Judah, Morning Star, Lamb of God. But Paul referred to Jesus as the last Adam. The last Adam. And you may want to take some of this home with you, but it's sure worthwhile. Look up 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45 to 47. Really worthwhile reading that at length, and so you can reflect on it. And the question is, why is this so important? Because of what has happened through the first Adam. Our first parents chose, and it was on the side of evil that they chose. They broke the one command, the only command that God gave them, and they broke it. And something went wrong in their hearts. Something shifted, and something that shifting was passed along to each of us. Something went wrong with us. We need a life change, a heart change because of that. Something went terribly wrong. The whole world shifted, and darkness covered the world. And you look around, read the news. If we have any wonder at all of what is happening in the world, to see what would ever help. Well, nothing would ever help the people that we're seeing, watching, apart from a transformation of the heart. It never will. You know what I know. We'll never see a change in our culture until hearts are changed. It's your heart that must receive the operation. So we're so self-centered. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, so good. But that's not the end of the story. The first Adam was only a pattern of the one to come. In Romans 5:14, he would foreshadow the other man, the head of a new race, the firstborn of a new creation. And Romans chapters 5 and verse 19, again, there's too many of them to mention other than just to talk about that, and you can look at them at home. But Romans 5:17, another one, that he came to do something new. He came to change our hearts, to set free the brokenhearted and those that are overwhelmed by life. And he says, I will remove your heart of stone, a stony heart. I know people, you know people, that are very hard-hearted. And I don't know how they got that way, but they are hardened. They're hardened against everything, actually. And you often feel so bad about that somebody has to remove the heart of stone. Well, a naked, bleeding man stood in for us, Jesus, our Lord, and paid the price of the ransom. And God took it upon himself to rescue us, Matthew 20:28, to give his life as a ransom for many. He paid the price. Whatever the price was, he paid it. And we have been ransomed by Christ, and our treachery has been forgiven, and we're entirely pardoned for every thought, every desire, every deed, everything we've ever done. We come to Christ and we say, I've got a heart problem, and God says, I'm the one that can change your heart. And he like a rocket, he smashes into our lives. And, I talk about my sister a lot, but there was just the two of us. That Easter Sunday, isn't it funny? I can remember it with vividness. But that Easter Sunday, we were all dressed up, ready to go to church and Sunday school, as they had it in those days. And where were our parents? Our parents were asleep in bed. And so these two kids went off to church, just the two of us, and walked to church. And we never thought, we don't remember thinking too much about what they were just, parents were just sleeping in. They had not very much interest, I presume. And my sister and I walking to church, and I'm sure people said, look at those kids. Where are they going? They're going to church. What would compel, because we had to go against our parents' wishes, but what do you think would ever compel that scene would ever happen. You know what it was? Just the Lord touching our young hearts. God just reached out and said, I'm gonna save the Scott kids. I'm gonna touch their lives. And they won't be on the side road of life. They'll be center of life. And I'll give them hard heart. I'll change their hard heart to a heart full of love and care. And we began to pray for our parents. Imagine that, praying for your parents to get saved, that they would come to know Jesus as well, because their hearts would be changed. Well, I can remember my mother. I was sharing Christ with her, and she wasn't so into interest. She said, "I said, you need to become a Christian." And she said, "Well, I'm not a Christian. I'm an Anglican," and that apparently was better than being a Christian. And I said, "You know, would you like to?" Anyway, long conversation. I said, "Would you like me to pray with you that you could invite Jesus into your heart and have him change your heart?" And I had the privilege of leading her to the Lord. And I don't know the depth of it. She died shortly after that. She had cancer. And so I don't know too much more about that, except that I know that God is in the business of changing hearts. And whereas the problem was she was a good person. By any standard, by anybody in that whole town, if you would have mentioned my mom's name, they loved her. She was a lovely person. And I said, it's not good enough. You need more than that. I said, you would win the citizen award of the year, the decade. I said, nobody I know. She lived better than most of the Christians. She was remarkable that way. But it also, I don't need your religion. I don't need your full gospel stuff. I don't need that one. I'm good enough. I sent her all these books, right, that she could read up on how to receive. It was actually, I had to repent actually a little bit later and apologize for bringing all the books in to show her how she can grow as a Christian. And it must have been awkward for her, I'm sure, putting up with me. All I'm saying is that I have one thing I look towards, and that is that I may see, and I trust I will see her again, knowing that God can change a heart just like that. And I've been at bedsides for years, over the years, years and years, where we prayed for them. Would you like to receive Christ? And they receive the Lord, and they slip into eternity. You're not fully sure how deep the work is, but you've done all you can do, because God has to do the rest. And that's the thing, God doing the rest. So God took it upon himself to rescue us. But there's more. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. New heart, new spirit, far more than just being forgiven. Being forgiven is paramount, but there's more to it than that. That we've been delivered of what held us back from what we were meant to be. And I thank the Lord for the redeeming power of the Lord, what he can do. Our hearts have been circumcised to God. That's what it talks about in Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, of circumcision of the heart. In other words, it's something done within. It's not done outwardly, it's done inwardly. So there's far more than being forgiven. God has renewed our heart of stone and given us a loving heart, a kind heart. You know, I meet people all the time, and they're just so lovely. And I can see Jesus in them, that the Lord made them lovely when he came in, touched their heart. And now they got, I hear stories, June, you've told me many times, of her life and how she viewed things before she came to know the Lord. And very caustic and very quick-lipped and put people down. I can't even picture that now, June, so I just have to imagine that it happened. But she was, well, what could change somebody? Only God. Only God. No, you can't. You know, we all know people. If God doesn't change them, they're not going to be changed. Because he's the only one that can do that. And he says, I will give you a new heart that's full of love and full of care. And you know, sometimes some people hate certain races of people, and some people hate this and that, and they have no time for this. And I know there's people who hate religion, and they hate full gospel, and they hate everything about that. But God gives us love in our heart for people, And despite how they feel, we find ourselves loving people that we wouldn't normally care about. But we care about them now. Isn't that interesting? We care about them now. We care what happens to them. And we want to show love in every level. But it only happens when God touches and changes your heart. So our old nature and our old heart was somehow included. I don't even know how that was entirely included. But I believe it was included in Christ's death and Christ's resurrection. So you come to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, Romans chapter 6 and verse 11, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. These are just verses again that state again that the old nature, which came from Adam, has now been replaced by the new man in Jesus. So we received our old nature, so now we receive a new nature and a new heart from Christ. It has always been God's plan all along, not just to forgive us, but to restore us and to fill us full of love. And so that's such a powerful thing. I wrote this. Remember now, Adam was a pattern of the one to come. He was the root and the trunk of our family tree. Our hearts fell when he fell and received a sinful nature from him. But so now we receive a new nature and a new heart from Christ, the last Adam. God renewed your old heart, Ezekiel 36 tells us that, when he circumcised our hearts and gave us a new heart when he joined us to the life of Jesus. Well, I won't say much more than just a couple of thoughts here, but it says, do you know what this means? That's what I wrote. Do you know what this means? It means your heart is good. Whatever wickedness I had, I don't have that. I've got a good heart. And if you know the Lord and you've surrendered your life to him, invited him to come in and give you a new heart and a new way of living, actually, if you do that, you'll be able to say you've got a good heart. And there are people. I say I know these people. They are transformed and they're delightful. Why? Because they got good hearts. They didn't always. They'd be the first to tell you, said, oh, boy. I said, I had anything. I said, I hated people and hated this and hated that. And they said, then Christ came, knocked on my door, invaded my life. And now this person, I scores of people, not just one or two, scores and scores of people. And it means we have a good heart. So you don't have to go around and say, well, I must be a real wicked person. Not if you know Christ. They get a new heart and a new spirit. I will put this in you. It's a promise from him that as we accept him, he will change us. A new heart, a new spirit in us. My heart is now the dwelling place of God. In Exodus 40, he talks about the cherubim. He says, my glory. God's temple is where he lives now inside of me. And it's in my heart. Well, I could go on, but I'm gonna end here. If you ever experience the Lord Jesus, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's something so delicious and delightful about our Savior, the way he can come into a person's life. It's the only hope I have. I'd give this up for a nickel if it was just a matter of like a social club where we're trying to help people socially. We need a dynamic, and that dynamic is Christ changing the heart. Without that, what are the odds? Read the news. What are the odds? They're zero. How would you change that? Like even these nations, they need some kind of renewal and revival. How could, because of what has happened and the terrible things that have happened. What hope is there? Only thing, it would be some kind of revival, some move of God that would ever change their lives. So here we are working with people, and I thought, yes, well, the reason it works is because God touches your heart. So-and-so used to drink and carouse. Why? They don't do that now. And they've been for 15 years or 20 years or 30 years. They've caroused and fought and got in trouble and went to jail. And I say, well, I guess that's the end of the story. No, it's not the end of the story at all. It's the beginning of the story because God, bang, entered their life, and nobody can do that. Nobody can do that except God. And here we are, we're in the people-changing business. Our job is to present Jesus, the risen Lord, and to introduce them. Now, you know what was going to happen. I trust it will happen. Next Sunday, we have one of those wonderful moments in church life where people come to church because it's the right thing to do. They'll come with grandma, they'll come with grandpa, they'll come with the uncle, they'll come with the cousin, they'll come with their neighbor. Somebody invites them to church because it's Easter. So they come, and there will be, again, we have no say in this. We can't change anybody, not nobody. We haven't got any ability to change anything. So we'll have the music, and there will be lots of good things, and people dancing, and food served out there. And in that setting, after the message, we'll give an invitation. Just a simple one, nothing to offend necessarily. But somebody to say, if you're here today and you would like the Lord to come into your heart, I would be honored to pray with you, and we can pray even right here. You may have been here, you've thought of this before, but now you're thinking of it so seriously, that you believe that Jesus died and rose again. And you know that almost magical moment when you wonder, what way will it go? Will it go this way? Will it go that way? And this is the time, by the way, that you kick in and I kick in, and we're praying fervently in this prayer, in the Spirit, and praying from our heart that the Spirit said, come, Holy Spirit, come now. Oh, Lord, and we're praying, and you know, there's just that moment, the music is playing, and to give permission, and we give an invitation. And what are we praying? We're praying that God will touch their heart. It's the heart. If they just get encouraged and they come back next Easter or next Christmas or something, it must be something that impacts. And only God's Spirit can do that. And only when God's people are praying that this will be a revolution in their life. That they went to the meeting. I mean, you know stories like this all the time. So I went to the meeting, wasn't planning to go into the front. That was the last thing I was thinking of doing. So I decided I wouldn't go in. I'll just sit back here. And next thing I'm at the front. Next thing I'm kneeling on the ground. Next thing I'm giving my heart and I'm crying. What happened here? What's going on? And I thought, yeah, I've seen that. I haven't seen it enough, but I've seen that. How could they go to the meeting? And I had not planned that. The last thing in the world they were doing. And there they are, giving their heart to Christ. Wow. I would pay just about anything if I could make that happen in the natural. Wouldn't you? If it was that simple, that you could simply pray. It's not that simple. Right? And we want to be sensitive to people's needs, and we don't want to feel anybody feel manipulated because they were given an offer to come to Christ. But on the other hand, imagine, say, nobody even asked me if I wanted to accept Christ. Nobody even asked me. Well, this is why today is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We've got some days that you can be in prayer. Every day, just pray that somebody will say yes to the Holy Spirit and that their heart will be changed. That's it. We're not trying to get church members. We want to see people who've had a heart exchange, that something has impacted them, that they can't stop thinking about it. And maybe they only, you know, sometimes people only take one step, then they take another step in the new year, and they take another step, and, you know, there's different steps for people. And we are aware of that not everybody comes the first time, but there will be somebody. And I can hardly wait till next week. It's a good time anyway, but to cease, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be worth it all if an individual said, I ask Jesus to be my Savior, and he'll give you a new heart and a new life. That's his business. That's what he does best. And he asked us to cooperate with him. He said, come, let's pray together. Let's be in this together, that we'll look back and say, that was the starting point. That was the starting point of my life, my spiritual life. And thank you, Jesus. I believe in the power of God. I know that that's what it takes for any life to be changed. The fact that we have this privilege, folks. People don't come to church necessarily in May, June, July. They don't think that's a high time as much as we wish. But we know that they'll come this moment, and they may come the next moment. We don't know. We only have this moment. We only have this. Because they just, you know how habits are. People just don't go to church. But they come on occasion, and just to get somebody off their back. And that's how I got to church. Just got my sister off my back, and that was worthwhile in itself. But it's, you can't change anybody unless the Lord, you know, just even where you're sitting, this might be a sanctified place. You know, before you leave here this morning, matter of fact, just maybe put your hand on the chair and just quietly say, Lord, whoever sits here next week, let this be. You say, what's that? It's the Holy Spirit just hovering over. Right? That chair might be the place where God just stops right there. Stops right there. And and that person wasn't even planning on responding, but did, because the Lord was in the place. And we have this opportunity to pray. So before you go, it doesn't have to be a big deal. Just quietly, momentarily, just pray for that. That somebody may well be there. And you can look back when in eternity we say back, the Lord will say, oh, by the way, that was the chair that one you anointed, you prayed over. That's the chair that I decided to touch that person's life. The wind blows where it will. You don't know where it's going or where it's happening. You just don't know that. All we can know is that there are places where somebody will tell me, they said, I was sitting up in there, or I was sitting up over there when God just spoke to me. I started crying. I thought, yeah, that's great. That's the excitement of it. And then just to make contacts with people, having a free hot a hamburger or a chicken or whatever else we're having, and just to meet some people. Like, this thing is exciting in itself, that we meet some people in the parking lot. Mike and Ramona, that's where we met them when they came to know Christ as Savior. I followed them home. I got talking to them. I said, well, it's really nice. They just lived over here. I said, it's really nice to meet you. And I just walked with them. And next thing, I'm coming over to their house and led Ramona to the Lord. Mike was not, he was hoping I'd leave the house. But anyway, stand with me, please. Thank you for your patience here this morning. I'm going to pray that God's really going to use you this week. Because we can't make it up, right? We have to just trust the Spirit. But I'd like to think that somehow you were in the right place at the right time, and I was in the right place at the right time. This is the exciting part of life, to trust God for great things. I don't care how many get saved, as long as somebody gets saved. And then, of course, we're going to watch. See, oh, I forgot. Yeah, the baptism service. Oh, man. You know what? You never be worried about this. Nobody is, in all the years that I've been around, nobody has ever been offended by a baptism service. It's just kind of a novelty to them. They said, holy moly, what are you're putting people in there, are you? Right in the water? You're putting them in the water? Yeah, whoa, my, I haven't seen that. Boy, sure beats that thing, doesn't it? He said, you know. And they kept baptizing, and they come out, and I've stood at the back afterwards, and they said, well, that was different. My goodness, I never saw anything like that. And so we're going to have, there's just so many parts of the Sunday that are really, really worthwhile. So let's pray about that. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I feel your presence even here today. I ask you, Lord, that if there's any part of my heart that needs to be transformed, that you would give me a heart of flesh, not of stone. Lord, we pray that you would use us as a congregation of people to show forth your good works and kindness and love. Lord, I know we can't change people. We're at a disadvantage. We'd say, Holy Spirit of God, come in a big way. Use us, Lord. Use us. Maybe some kind word, maybe just an invitation. I don't know what it would be, but I just pray, God, that it won't just be another day, but this would be a special day. We pray, God, that there will be tears of repentance, tears of people being touched. Lord, we know that on the day of Pentecost, the power of God fell. And we ask you, Lord, to fall in this place. Lift up your hand to the Lord. Lord, fall in this place. Fall in this place. Fall in this place. God, thank you for your great love. I pray you'd give people hope, Lord, that their heart could be changed. And we pray together that there'll be fruit. Somehow there'll be some fruit that it inspires us beyond our understanding even. Thank you. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you for Valley Church, Lord. Thank you for every member and in the guests here today. I pray your blessing upon them, Lord, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, that they would be ministered to, even today, whatever problems, whatever situations they would find themselves in. We pray, God, that they would be full of the Spirit, and you'd bless them and look after them and watch over them. And we'll thank you. Lord, we'll thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Make this an alive spot. And what we pray for us, we pray for all the other churches, that they'd say, the Lord is active. He's moving. Lord, whatever the news people say, we pray that you would show the great wonder of God is at work, more than we've ever dreamed, probably. So thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, I pray for Pat DeCourcy. Pray, Lord, that you will heal her and bring her back to health after her appendix. And so we just pray good things for her. And we thank you. What a great God you are, Lord. You're the best. You're the best. You know, I think what we should do, we should just, you know, like the Koreans, they really know how to pray because they just shout. I think we should just give a shout to the Lord just for a couple of moments. It doesn't have to be a long thing, but just that in anticipation, not just of Sunday, but of our lives and being used by God. So I'm going to count to three. And I just want you to praise the Lord and all of your heart. And I think it'll please the Lord. So one, two, three. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, 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 yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Blessed be your name, Lord. The mighty, mighty God. We thank you. We bless you, Lord. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Yeah, amen. Yeah, give somebody a hug before you go away. And come to the patio if you can. It's almost warmed up there. So thanks for being here today. God bless you.